Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman from Brookside, and we are thrilled to be able to spend this Christmas season with you. What a joy it is to just hear the many wonderful testimonies of what God is doing in hearts and lives during this Christmas season, drawing people's hearts back toward home. But you know, that was not a problem for missionary Bernie May, because as he tells his story, that's exactly where his heart was. His heart was at home. But the problem was, he couldn't be. He writes it this way. It was our third Christmas away from home. I was a missionary pilot flying Bible translators for the Amazon Jungle and Radio Service. I was the pilot for the flying arm of the Wycliffe Bible Translators. Now, December in Peru is not much different from July. It's just hot all the time. The jungle is steaming and the insects are ferocious. Yet at our jungle center, where we have over 300 translators and support personnel, including pilots and mechanics, we were living in an area that was going to be celebrating Christmas. It was a festive occasion, even though we didn't have any cold weather or snow. In each of the homes, you could see twinkling Christmas lights, although the tree itself might have been a banana tree or a palm tree rather than the traditional pine trees. And as the special day approached, our three boys grew excited. They didn't have the pangs of homesickness that Nancy and I felt for our native Pennsylvania. To them, after 3 years, Peru was home. It was a week before Christmas, and our flight coordinator asked me to make an emergency flight down the river over the jungle and carrying some medical supplies to an Indian tribe where there had been an epidemic. Now, I was scheduled to return to Nancy and the boys on the evening of December 23rd. I made the five-hour flight without any incident. My old plane with its bulky pontoons droned through the scattered clouds and safely deposited me on the river near the Indian village. I was scheduled to spend the night at the village, sleeping in a jungle lean-to between two palm trees and then leave the next morning on my plane. But during the night, I heard rain splattering on the thatch roof over my head. When I woke in the morning, the entire river basin was socked in with fog and rain. There would be no flying that day. It rained all day and throughout the next night. Christmas Eve was the same. The clouds were down to the tops of the trees. The rain fell steadily. I slipped on my poncho and trudged through the Indian village down to the river's edge. The plane was tied against the bank, rocking gently on the rain-splattered water. I crawled out on a pontoon, sat under the wing, feeling desperately sorry for myself. It was Christmas Eve, and night was descending on the jungle. There was no way I could get home. Now, back in Pennsylvania, my folks would have returned from church, and Mother would be getting the turkey ready. Outside, the snow would be falling past the window, and the big tree with the star on top would be standing, as always, in the corner. 6 hours away from me, Nancy and the boys would be sitting at home, alone. They knew by now, because I'd been able to radio back, that I was stuck in the jungle. I wasn't going to be with them for Christmas. "Lord, I'm in the wrong place," I moaned. More than anything else, I wanted to be home for Christmas. Instead, I sloshed my way back to my hut in the little village. I shared some yucca with a couple of Indian children, read them the Christmas story on my Bible, doing my best to translate it so they could understand a few words of that precious event. And that night, under my mosquito net, I, too, had a visitation from God, something like those shepherds must have had on the hills of Bethlehem. Now, there were no angels and no bright light, but as I lay there in my hammock, desperately homesick, I felt I heard God say, "My son, this is what Christmas is all about." Jesus left heaven, and on Christmas morning, he woke up in the wrong place, a stable in Bethlehem. "Son, Christmas means leaving home, not going home. My only begotten son didn't come home for Christmas. He left his home to be with you." I opened my eyes, and overhead through the mosquito net, I could see the brown palm thatch leaves which formed the ceiling of the lean-to. Beneath me was the hard packed dirt floor, and all around was the sound of gently falling rain. But out there in the darkness were men and women, boys and girls, tiny babies, all a part of this Indian tribe. And I was there, away from home, Christmas Eve, because Jesus left his home on Christmas Eve. And I was there because he said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And that night I realized that Christmas is God's ultimate missionary outreach. And during the night, the rain stopped. And on Christmas Day, I was able to take off from the river, and by nightfall, I was back with my loved ones at the center. But I often think about that memorable Christmas Eve when churches tell us, oh, we can't have missionary outreach in December. It's the wrong time. Christmas, though, is the right time. It's the time that God sent his Son. It's the time that we, too, should be going. And there are more people answering God's call to go than ever before in the history of the world. And for the most part, these missionaries will not be home for Christmas. They're out there, in the wrong place, translating the Bible, telling the story. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The wrong place for Christmas. Wow. So many times you and I misunderstand what Christmas is all about. God gave us his Son, who left home and came to be with us. And what an amazing story that is. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that Christ made the decision to leave home and to take on the form of a servant and to be made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What an amazing gift that God has given us. Now, many times when we come to Christmas, we look at all the gifts underneath the tree, and we immediately jump in to pick up the biggest gift or the loudest gift when we shake it, and we begin unwrapping all these gifts. You never leave any gifts under the tree still wrapped. Christmas is about unwrapping the gifts. Now, have you unwrapped the gift that God gave you? Jesus. Have you invited him into your heart and life? See, Jesus humbled himself so we could be lifted up. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of pride and self-gratification. He decided not to do what was best for himself, but was best for you and for me. My response to that should be to accept the gift of himself into my life. You know, there's no problem living a godly life if God is living within you. And many times that's a misunderstanding because I've heard people say, Pastor, I can't live the Christian life. And the problem is they don't understand that they don't have to, that it is God in them living his life through them. And so you simply empty yourself. And give yourself to God, and he fills you so that he can then lift you up, so he can then give you a reason to live. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus became a servant so we could become heirs of God and join heirs with Jesus Christ. And the only way that heirs collect anything is for the owner to die. And Jesus chose to die so that you and I could be included in the inheritance. And the exciting thing is the fact that eternal life begins right now. Right now. And the story of Christmas is not that we will one day go to be with the Lord in heaven and live with him, but it's that he will immediately begin to live with us. We don't have to wait for heaven to be able to live with God. God says, I'll live with you right where you are. And he comes into our life. And then the exciting thing is that he gives us a ministry of service to other people. And what a joy it is to know that we can have such a fantastic ministry and find joy in doing so. I was reading some time ago about someone who stayed at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Wow, the Ritz-Carlton. And he said, from the moment that you arrive, staff members are mindful of everything about whatever you need. In fact, there's just one thing on their minds. It's serving the guests. In fact, the hotel chain's corporate motto is, we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. To them, serving doesn't just happen by chance. Employees are genuinely empowered to correct a problem or handle a complaint. In fact, many, many stories are told about the lengths that those staff members will go to serve their customers, whatever it takes. And when a guest thanks a waiter or a chambermaid or anybody else, rather than responding, hey, that's okay, or no problem, the employee looks the guest in the eye and with a smile responds, it's a pleasure to serve you. It's a little wonder that the Ritz-Carlton has been the recipient of hotel industry's most prestigious awards, because this company understands the power of service. You know what? The same thing is true for us. When we come to Christ, He gives us the opportunity to have service. He gives us a reason to live, and He gives us fulfillment in doing it. In fact, the Bible tells us about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, where the Apostle Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. The Apostle Paul said, you know, I don't have anybody else like Timothy, because he will naturally care for your state. And when you begin to understand that, no, you're not in the wrong place for Christmas, but whenever you are in the place of service that God has given you, then you become a blessing. You stop seeking your own. You begin to seek what Christ is involved in. Epaphroditus is the same type of a person. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. Here's Epaphroditus who simply said, I'm going to serve the Apostle Paul. Oh, yes, he was sick. In fact, he was almost dead serving the Apostle Paul. But yet, his life wasn't his own. He had learned an important principle of the Christian life. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when you and I begin to understand what it means to service others, instead of, will someone serve us? No. It's serving others. And what a precious story that is for Christmas. Well, we've run out of time. We will have to continue our thoughts in the next broadcast. Until the next time, I trust that God will give you a wonderful day of service for others.